Thank you, Allison and Rebecca, for that message through song. If you have your Bibles, please open them back up to Hebrews chapter 11 this morning. We'll be considering the topic of faith. God is bigger than your faith. God is bigger than my faith, isn't he? He truly is, and we're going to see that demonstrated through his word this morning. A common question that gets asked, though, is what is faith? What is faith? And if you were to do an internet search, if you were to look through encyclopedias and dictionaries and Merriam-Webster's definition, you would find all sorts of definitions of faith. You would find, if you were to interview and ask folks on the street, what is faith? Some would articulate it as a large amount of willpower, a large amount of just forcefully, mentally believing that something exists, so therefore it does. It's an effort. It's a willpower. The world says things like this about faith, if they were to define it. The world would say it is a firm belief in something for which there is no proof at all. The world would also say this. This is a common definition of faith, and that is, it's a leap into the dark, trusting the results. It's stepping into the unknown. It's doing something when you don't know the result to be. The world's faith is this. The world's faith is limited by man himself. The world's type of faith, secular faith, is limited to, if I can understand it, it must be true. If I can see it, or believe it, or will it to be, then therefore I have faith in that object. And this type of faith, this type of worldly faith, never goes beyond man or woman themselves. It never goes beyond the abilities of the intellect. It never goes beyond the abilities of the will. The Bible says otherwise about faith. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1 says, now faith is the substance. By the way, the substance is like the assurance, the evidence, the conviction of things hoped for. So Hebrews 11, 1 says, now faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Here is a form of a definition of biblical faith, faith in God. The scripture we just read notes for us, it is the substance of things hoped for. It makes the invisible seen. Not to remain invisible, not to remain unknown, but it makes it visible to us, the things that which we cannot see. The evidence of things not seen. This is the confidence, the absolute confidence in the absolute trustworthiness of God. This is faith and trust in something that is not seen, but something that has been told to us and demonstrated to us to be faithful. This isn't blind faith. This is faith in what has been told and given to us. Scripture also tells us, as we just read, that believing to the point of action, this goes beyond just a proclamation or declaration of, oh, I believe it exists. I'll recognize it exists. Kind of like today, we recognize that there's danger. We don't want anything to do with it, but there's danger that exists. Even Scripture says even the demons themselves would claim that God exists. We have faith that God exists. But it's not a trust in that person. It's not a putting into action. It goes beyond just a confession to a form of trust, a relying, leaning on the one that the faith is placed in. To trust, to rely upon, total dependence on God and his promises. This is a short definition of biblical faith. A trust and reliance on God's promises. Father, as we get deeper into our study this morning, as we continue with this message and this time, portion of the service, I ask for your guidance, for your power, for your leading as we seek to understand the scriptures that are before us. I pray that those in attendance this morning, those that would hear this message, would be encouraged, would be strengthened by the truth of your word in realizing this, that your scripture teaches us that faith is not a simple blindness, but faith is belief in the promises and the demonstrations of your trustworthiness. We thank you for the faith that we can demonstrate in you. And it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The biblical definition of faith, I'd like to share with you and help you understand this morning. I believe it comes in two different aspects. There's two different aspects to the biblical form of faith that we were just talking about. There is intellectual assent as well as trust. Okay, so here's the lesson this morning. There's intellectual assent, and there's also trust. Intellectual assent is believing something to be true. You believe that I am standing before you this very morning, I hope, okay? Otherwise, you probably need to get off the medication that you're on this morning, all right? Talk to your physicians first before you change any medication, all right? Now, that would be the belief that believing something to be in front of you right now. You believe that you're sitting here in this building this morning. That is intellectual assent. Believing something to be true, something to be in existence. Trust is actually relying on the fact that something that you see intellectually or something that you know intellectually to be true is something that you can trust in, something that you can put your full weight, your full trust in. A chair is often used to illustrate this. Have you seen this before, right? A chair has often been used to try to illustrate what genuine faith and trust is. And one would set a chair like I have this morning. I have a chair here this morning. No one's going to come up and sit in that chair that I know of other than maybe myself, if I trust it to hold me here. But a chair can often illustrate this. Intellectual assent would be recognizing that the chair exists. Do you all see this chair here this morning, by the way? Hopefully, okay? There is a chair here this morning. I'm putting my hands on it. I feel it. It feels fairly, well, actually, that kind of ruins my illustration there. It's a little wobbly, okay? There is a somewhat solid chair here this morning. It has a nice padded top to it, all right? It has four legs, looks pretty stable, better than one or two legs. It's not a pogo stick. It's a firm chair this morning. I see it here. I look at it. It could probably kind of maybe hold my weight. I'm not sure. It's pretty solid. It looks like most chairs that I'm used to, right? You've seen other chairs before. You're sitting in a form of a chair this morning in the pew. We know that when we see something that looks like this, we believe it's a chair. It's designed to hold my weight. So we have intellectual assent that this chair is designed to hold my weight. Okay, so there's a certain form of intellectual assent in agreeing that this chair will hold me, it will support me. That's different than trusting in that chair. So let's call this chair, in all reverence here for the sake of illustration, let's say that this is a representation of God, okay? This chair. We understand that God is not a chair, but this is a representation of God. We recognize that God exists. We read his word. Oh, yes, God exists. That's right. We believe that he's there. We see that he's there. We've even seen how he's been trustworthy in the past. We've sat in other forms of chairs that look like this. We know that God is supposed to, and we know that this is designed for us to trust. But that's intellectual assent. Trust is doing something completely different than just acknowledging that it exists. Trust is coming over to God, going to God, and putting your entire weight on him and trusting him completely, isn't it? This is the trust portion of faith. Not only do I have intellectual assent in realizing that this chair is here and that it exists, but I have my full and complete weight on that, trusting that God will support me, that he is faithful to carry me through. This is the type of biblical faith that is being illustrated in Hebrews chapter 11 in our passage this morning. Many people will intellectually agree with the facts that the Bible declares. Well, there are some historical facts. There's even unbelievers that say, well, there are some historical facts that can be proven to be correct. We can research scripture, and we see through intelligent research of science and physics that some of these facts exist. There are even unbelievers that believe that. That's intellectual agreement of the facts of the Bible that declare, but faith and trust, the type of trust that completely relies on him, on God is a type of trust at realizing that not only intellectually do I believe this to be true, but I trust the eternal, written, truthful, eternal Word of God. This is also faith and trust. Knowing these facts to be true is not what the Bible means by faith, but trusting them also to be true as God has given them to us, to one that is perfect, ever true, unfailing, and never lies. The biblical definition of faith requires some of both: intellectual assent, that is acknowledgement of truth of the facts, and trust in those facts. Total dependence on God and His promises. I have that written in my Bible next to this verse here. Total dependence on God and His promises is a biblical definition of faith. Complete dependence on Him. Putting my full weight, not this kind of thing. Oh yeah, I believe that chair is there, but you know, okay, there we go. There we go. I trust the chair now, right? Because I'm holding on to something else. I got one foot on the ground. You know, I'm a little more stable. God, I got this. I got this handled, you know. I know you're here. That's great. You're beautiful. That's wonderful. Glad you're in my life. Glad I'm part of this. But I think I'm good. That's not complete trust. Complete trust is the entire weight in our complete placing our life in His hands. Completely believing and trusting and putting our full weight on Him. It is by this kind of faith we receive blessings from God, isn't it? Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 tell us, "For by grace you have been saved through faith." Our complete trust in Him, not on my church attendance and how I wear my snappy suit and tie to church on Sunday morning or whatever it may be, or clothing, or whether I was baptized in obedience, which is obedience to Him after salvation, or that any form of works or liturgy that to trust to save me. It's not that. It's complete trust in the fact that it is God, by His grace through my faith, that I have been saved. Not of works. And for the purpose of the fact that I don't have anything to boast in, Paul tells the Ephesians. Salvation is one of the most, is the most miraculous and glorious blessings that we receive by this process and this act of faith and trust in God. So as we take a closer look at biblical faith this morning, I'd like to point your attention to this wonderful passage. It is filled with names of folks that lived in history and truthfully placed their faith in God, their complete trust in God. And they're forever recognized in Scripture for that. Consider this morning the life and the faith of Abraham. Consider this morning also the faith of his wife, Sarah. You know the stories well. You know these biblical folks well. If you look at verses 8 and 10 of chapter 11 of Hebrews this morning, we will see through these examples that God is bigger than our faith. It sounds so simple to say that, right? God is bigger than my faith. He is. My faith oftentimes is meeny, 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 right? Sometimes my faith is like, nah, I got one foot on the ground, the other, you know, I'm kind of one leg in it on the stool there. If you're riding the ski lift in Mount Lemmon in August with me on a youth trip, both hands are gripped tightly on the railing and I'm closing the eyes and kind of peeking out, I trust this thing's going to hold me. There's a complete trust. I'm not saying it's not difficult to trust the Lord in many circumstances. You can testify that yourself. It can be difficult, but it's because we are so focused and so sidetracked with our own control and our own ability to do what we have this intellectual recognition that God exists and that faith exists and that we can trust Him. But maybe we're lacking to completely trust Him. And we see exemplified in Abraham and Sarah a number of different things concerning faith. But the big picture, no pun intended, actually, is that God is bigger than our faith. God's direction and will for Abraham, this is also recorded in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. These are more descriptive blessings that are promised to him. But Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 through 10 say this: by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should, after receive for inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing whither he went. How many of you have ever, just by raising a hand, I'm just curious, how many of you ever have made a big move in your life, have uprooted and moved somewhere on what you would testify based on the Lord's leading you, but you have no idea what you're going to do. You have no idea what's going to meet you at the other end. You have no idea if you even have a place to live. Anybody? A couple of you, right? Yes? So you have demonstrated some of this. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand if this was just like a, oh, well, or if this was truly trusting God. But there are some of us that have stepped out in faith, trusting completely in God. We see this in Abraham, right? He says, I want you to pick up everything you own, everything. I want to pick it up, and I want you to move to this other land. I want you to go, and I want you to be obedient to me, to trust me. Abraham had likely all of the excuses in the world that he could have used, right? I don't know. The economy's not so good in that area. There aren't that many jobs. You know, the fields aren't good for my crops. I don't know if there's enough land there. I don't know if there's hostiles that can invade us and take advantage of us. Lord, you're just checking, Lord. But don't you realize there's some risks involved in this? We don't see Abraham saying this. In fact, we see forever recorded in Genesis, also in Hebrews now, this word here, obeyed. In Hebrews, Abraham obeyed. Let's continue. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned. This means traveled in a land that was not his original. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. God had even demonstrated and shown his promises to be true to others before him as well. And so the promises of blessing to follow Abraham's faithful obedience are listed in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Those promises were a brand new land that God promised him and gave him in his obedience and his faithfulness, to be made a great nation. He would be blessed. These are the promises that God had given him. You obey me, these things will take place. In fact, we even see that for New Testament believers today, not exactly these promises, but we see promises of God's care and his love that comes in being a believer, yes, but in obedience to him. We see different results as well. We see that Abraham his name was to be made great. All nations to be blessed through Abraham because of his faith, because of his obedience. God would bless them. God's blessings, here comes the big faith part. God's blessings went beyond Abraham's faith, didn't they? The blessings that God blessed Abraham in his obedience with went beyond what he even expected. This goes, our faith and trust, when it is genuinely placed completely on God, goes beyond what we can even intellectually think up. I never thought I could trust God in that situation, hindsight says sometimes, right? I don't know how I made it through this circumstance other than trusting God, and he carried me through. It was by his power, by his blessing, by his providence that he blessed me in my obedience to him. God's blessing went beyond Abraham's faith. God is bigger than our faith. Abraham didn't know, he didn't have Hebrews chapter 11 written out for him to read. He didn't have a list of the heroes of the faith to read. Wow, look how God has worked. Oh, look at this story. Look at this account. Oh, you know what? I don't know why I'm doubting God. Lord, I trust you. He didn't have all those things. He did have things in his life. He did have understanding of how God had worked with God's people. He didn't know he would remain honored to this day and be spoken of this many years later for his faith and obedience to God. Abraham surely didn't know at that time that his name would forever be recorded in the scripture. God blessed his family beyond his expectations. There were certain wants and desires that he and his wife had, but God blessed him beyond his expectations in response to his obedience. Do you know that God still blesses our faith? God blesses our faith beyond even in many cases what we even ask for. I'm not just making this up, folks. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20 says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." God, even today, chooses in many cases to bless us beyond our asking and our requests in some cases, when it is asked in faith and trust. I remember, I think today, one of our deacons reminded me, today is 4 years that I've actually been serving here at Calvary as a pastor, one way or another. As far as officially being here in the services, I remember entering pastoral ministry, and I had friends and I had colleagues in the previous employment I had before pastoral ministry here in preparation for that. When they would learn of the changes in life and how income would change and support and living and ministry, how it would be drastically different than the employment that I had then. Worldly speaking, I had it made. Everything was working out. It would have been a cush retirement. It was beautiful, but Lord knew, and by God's grace, he got a hold of my heart, and I could do no other. And ever since 15 years old, I knew I was headed to ministry. That was a 5-year blip in life to get from point A to point B and to take care of some things. But I remember that there was a hint of a distraction of, well, you could stay here. You could do this. Be well compensated. Or you can continue to be obedient, David, if God was talking to me this way in my heart, and Allie. And you can follow me as I have called you into ministry. And trust me, I will provide and I will take care. But trust me. And oh, how I look back over the last few years and the blessings, both tangible and intangible, the relationships, the ways that the Lord has worked in our hearts and grown us is irreplaceable. Many of you have the same testimonies of trusting the Lord, stepping out in faith and complete trust in what he has promised to supply. I'm so thankful that God is bigger than my faith. I am so thankful that he is bigger than my faith, because my faith wavers sometimes. Sometimes I don't have the faith that I should in God. Does it mean because God is in some way possibly unfaithful to provide? No. Because little old sinner me chooses to be distracted with how difficult the circumstances. Little old me makes a decision to trust my own ability rather than God's, and that's when I fall flat on my face. And friends, when we fall flat on our face in those circumstances, we have a loving God that is standing there waiting to pick us up, to forgive us, and to start over. I'm so glad God is bigger than my faith. More than bigger, God is better than our faith. Look at verse 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 11 says, "Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised." Again, not a blind faith, but a complete faith and trust in something that had been promised and something that had been described to her. Consider the experiential results of Sarah's faith. We just read in verse 11. She bore a son, the promised seed, Isaac. She bore him in an age that exceeded 90 years old. Some of you ladies are going, oh. To think of that. We've heard this story, this timeless story of Sarah delivering a child as they had desired at the age that she was. But notice in all of this the reality of how small her faith was. Really, look at this. Look at this. Notice how small her faith was. God's faith is better than ours. It's bigger than ours. And we see Sarah's small faith. She laughed when given the promise of bearing a son. Now, to be perfectly honest with you this morning, full disclosure, if I was in a situation like that, I'm pretty sure that I would have probably laughed as well. I think sometimes we can be too difficult on some of the Israelites and the people in the scripture that would complain easily. We realize, oh yeah, there's sometimes maybe I would doubt as well. She laughed. Why would she laugh? Well, because it's seemingly impossible. Although in her heart of hearts, she knew who this God of the impossible was. She knew who this God was that was giving her this promise and to Abraham. She continued further in her small faith. Maybe you've been in this position before. She lied about her laughing. When questioned by God, you find this in Genesis chapter 18 and verse 15. You find how when God said that this is what I've promised you, you will bear a child. And are you kidding me? I'm 90 years old. Maybe she didn't sound like that. But I'm this age. This is impossible. God, in all of his love and all of his power, I only imagine this is in the scripture, sitting back saying, oh, Sarah of little faith, you are talking to the God of impossible. By the way, that is the same God of the impossible that we talk to today. That is the very same faithful God that we worship and we serve and that has saved us today. Yet, in light of Sarah's small faith, God honored even her small faith and gave her a son. Do you remember, in turn over to the Gospels, do you remember in Mark chapter 4, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. So we go to Matthew, Mark. Mark chapter 4. You remember this account? Going, what is it? I haven't gotten there yet. I'm looking. Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. This is the storm that was stilled by Jesus with his disciples. Do you remember this? They're on a boat together. They're out on the water together, and a storm works up, and the waters begin to turn, and things begin to get a little precarious and scary, and life-threatening even. Let's read through this and remember this together, right? It's only a few verses. Mark chapter 4 and verse 35 says, "And the same day when the even was come, he saith unto him, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full." And have you ever been on a storm, out on the water in a storm? Yeah, especially maybe in a smaller vessel. Have you ever been on a storm? Yeah, a couple of you. Ever been out on the water and you're going, what am I doing here? I don't know if I'm going to make it to shore. I've been there. It's frightening. Talk about a complete lack of control. There's not a thing you can do. Here are the disciples. Jesus is in the ship with them. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, this is Jesus, asleep on a pillow. How many of you were sleeping through that storm? I wasn't sleeping through that storm. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? They're saying, Lord, look, do you realize the storm we're in? And here you're sleeping peacefully on a pillow. Do you not care that we're going to die? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? O ye of little faith. Jesus calls out the disciples for their weak, small faith. Similar to we see with Sarah, her laughing, then her embarrassment for laughing and lying about it. O ye of little faith. Oh, how our feeble faith is sometimes so similar to the disciples, so similar to Sarah. And considering small faith, Matthew 17:20 reminds us that mustard seed faith moves what? Mountains. Even a small amount of faith moves mountains. I'm so thankful that it isn't based on an amount of faith that we have, that God is bigger than any faith we have. It is the simple trust in Him, and He is the greatness, not our faith. Even when we're lacking, even when it seems like faith is in short supply by our own will, God is better than our faith. We try so hard sometimes to satisfy ourselves with our own efforts, with our own securities. This idea of God here and represented through the chair. This idea of, you know, I might sit over here. I think kind of sort of maybe, but you know, I still got that one foot on the ground. I'm still. Come here, God. Come here. All right. I'm gonna hold on to this bench just in case. I'm gonna hold on to these securities. You know, I have this certain amount of retirement fund. My investments are set up. I have insurance policies in place. I have a backup car. I have an additional house. I've got friends set aside that I can call on. I've got so-and-so on speed dial. I'm safe. What does that say to God? God, I do not trust you. And I'm not here telling you, trying to give you some financial advice here that you need to get rid of certain things. That's between you and God. But where is your trust? Where is your faith? Is it holding on? I love you, Lord. I'm trusting you, but I'm just going to stay right here. A little safer over here. Or is it stepping out in faith? You know, there's a story I'm reminded of. It goes something like this. There was a man walking along in a dark storm one night. And as he's walking along, he walks out to the edge. He has no idea there's an edge there. And he steps off into the darkness and he's falling. And as he's falling and clawing at the sliding clay and the mud and the dirt of the cliff that he's sliding down, falling rapidly, surely to his death, he grabs a hold of a root and a branch hanging out. And in the pitch black darkness, he cries out to God. He believes God exists. He cries out to God, Lord, save me. Save me, God. I surely am going to die. And as the story goes, one would say that God answers him and says, I'll save you. Let go. And he answers back, I can't let go. I'll fall surely to my death and die. He says, let go. I will save you. And the man held on and he held on and he held on, refusing to trust the Lord and believing that if he just held on, he would prevent his sure death. And in dawn's early light, when the light started coming up, and just before he could even see, when his strength was to where he could no longer hold on, this is so telling of you and me sometimes, when his strength could no longer hold on to his ways of keeping himself secure, he released and let go, only to drop 2 inches to the ground that was below him. Isn't that so descriptive of our faith sometimes? Lord, I trust you, but I'm not letting go. And yet when we finally find ourselves failing, the hindsight, it's 2020 sometimes, we look back and go, why didn't I trust him? Why didn't I trust him? Why was my faith so small? I am so thankful that God is better than my faith. God is bigger than my faith. But also lastly this morning, God's promises build our faith. The promises we read throughout Scripture build our faith. They strengthen our faith. And the only way that our faith is strengthened is when we spend time in God's Word, realizing God said it, it will happen. God said it, it's truth. God loves me. He has shown He loves me. God will provide for my needs. Hey, honey, to my wife, children, come gather around. Do you remember how God provided for our need? Yeah, Daddy, I remember that. Let's praise the Lord for that. Do this often so we're reminded of how God has proven himself to us to be trustworthy. Faith is not just a blind faith. It's trusting what God has told us he will do. And he tells us through his word. By faith, Abraham, you remember, offered up Isaac. So Hebrews chapter 11, back there in our passage, we see in verse 17, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. How could Abraham do this? From a father's perspective, how can a father fully prepared and intending with no holds barred to do exactly what God asked him to do that seems completely ridiculous, completely unheard of, to offer his own son up as a sacrifice? Abraham trusted God's promises concerning Isaac. Look at verses 18 through 19, of whom it was said that Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. He trusted in God with intentional faith that God would provide and that God knew what was going to happen, even if he did not. This biblical faith is not blind faith. It is faith in the written and demonstrated truth of God. This is what we place our faith and trust in, because God said so. Our faith grows as we learn and trust God's word. The Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 teaches this to us. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So that tells me the more that I am in the Word of God, the more I understand God's promises, the more I get to know my God, which is the reason scriptures have been written, so we know Him and His plan for us. The more I get to know God, the more my faith has a potential to increase in Him. Biblical accounts of God's faithful people work to grow our faith. Do you remember these stories that you heard in Sunday school? The stories that you read about, these true accounts. They're not just stories, these accounts in Scripture. We read about the disciples just now, Abraham and Sarah, the whole list through Hebrews chapter 11 of all of these folks, Abraham, Noah, Enoch, Abel, Moses, Joseph, Jacob, Isaac, Sarah, all of these great heroes of the faith that are listed in Scripture. We can read of them and see how God has worked in their lives and remained faithful and how they trust in Him. You remember God, and I say this very clearly for purpose, God using Moses to part the Red Sea. Do you remember this? To deliver His people, God used Moses as an instrument that had faith and trust in God. Remember, they come up to the sea and the Egyptians are all chasing behind him. Israel says, oh no, what are we going to do? We have nowhere else to go. They're going to destroy us. Just because we didn't have graves back in Egypt, now we come out here to be buried and killed by the Egyptians. Moses, in a way, chastises the Israelites and says, oh, trust God. Trust God, He will deliver us. He has brought us here. Wait and see what He will do. And then God uses them in that miraculous way to part the sea. The Israelites cross on dry ground because of the wind, the part of the waters that God had done. In obedience and faith, they cross. And when the Egyptians came in, then the waters came down, crushing. And Scripture, I love this. Scripture says, not even one survived. God works in incredible ways. You remember Joshua and the wall of Jericho and how God brought down the great fortress walls of Jericho so that they may completely destroy. These are the accounts of Scripture that we have maybe heard long ago that we need to look over and be reminded of, and how God has worked in the past. God overcoming Goliath, using David to kill Goliath. Wonderful truths in Scripture. And in all of these counts, there are people of God, children of God, that demonstrated a complete trust and faith in Him. The Bible is filled with accounts of extraordinary works and wonderful promises. All, I love this, I love to say this on the authority of the Word of God, all of which are true. Trusting these truths I believe, works to increase our faith. So in conclusion, what seemingly unsurmountable difficulties are you facing today? No hands raising this morning. Let's not share these out loud. This is not the intent. You before God right now, your heart, if the Lord is speaking to you, what comes to your mind right now? What are the unsurmountable difficulties you're facing this morning? What is the difficulty in your life coming up in life that you're struggling with and trusting God? What is something that you're desperately holding on, hanging on? I got this, God. And you're not giving to Him. Why not just consider this? Why not trust Almighty God, the God of the impossible, to work out His will in a way that will surpass your expectations when your faith and trust is completely on and in Him? George Mueller once said this: difficulties are food for faith to feed on. Did you consider that? Let that settle in. Difficulties are food for faith to feed on. You have difficulties, give them to God, because faith is better and bigger than those. God is better and bigger than those. Remember that faith or trust in God means taking Him at His word. He says it, I believe it. He promises, I trust. Friends, this is how one may know, come to know Christ as their personal Savior. Trusting in the work of salvation, the shed blood of Jesus Christ, sinlessly on the cross, bearing our sins, my sins, so that in my repentance and turning from that sin and asking God for forgiveness, His forgiveness has already been, the sin has already been forgiven in the work of the cross, acknowledging that and trusting Him and Him alone for my salvation. Trust, faith is how we come to know Christ as our personal Savior. It can be saved from our sin and know that we have an eternal home in heaven with our Savior waiting for us. It is more than believing in Him. Faith is more than believing God. It is relying on Him and trusting Him. God is bigger and God is better than our faith. Will you trust Him? Father, as we close this time together, we acknowledge how marvelous and how great You are. But I think in some, really in embarrassment, in honesty, and I pray and in repentance, we acknowledge how we are all too often weak in our faith. Lord, I believe, to be honest, we would recognize that it's not because You have ever once demonstrated that You could not accomplish Your will, but it's because we willfully choose to be distracted and to not trust You. For that, we ask forgiveness. Thank You for forgiveness of our sins. Thank You for offering Jesus Christ so we may be forgiven of our sins and that we may have a personal relationship with You, being called a child of You, become a child of God. Thank You for salvation. Thank You for the ability that we have to put our full trust in You. Thank You for caring for each one. I pray for those this morning that may be struggling with trusting You this morning. I pray that You would show them in a big way. Lord, maybe even through using one of us or others here, we can come alongside, so to speak, and arm around someone's shoulder and say, trust God, I have, and this is how, and this is what He's done. When we become weak in our faith, may we lead our families and open up God's word and remembering how God has taken care of us in the past. Lord, we praise You and thank You this morning for being a faithful God. In Jesus' name, amen.